to live righteously.
Time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's articles of news for the week of the 9th of May. It's me, Richie T, joined with Brother Kyle and Happy the Janaima Knight herself. What?
Happy May.
Yeah.
It's gotta be May.
Oh, I didn't see those memes nearly as much this year. I saw way more May the 4th be with yous, but not it's gotta be May.
I saw nearly nothing of all. I saw a can of mayo in a sink.
For a Cinco de Mayo. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that, I think that's the only one I saw.
Okay. We're so clever with memes. Oh my gosh,
stupid.
The world is so hilarious. I want to get right to it because I know that Janae will tell the story, so I've allotted 45 minutes for today. It's all about the St. George Triathlon. It's the Ironman thing. We've been talking about it. How are you doing right now? Are you okay?
I am exhausted.
Yeah, your hair indicates that.
The no makeup and the crazy hair.
I don't notice the no makeup one way or another, but the hair, I think I've never seen your hair like that ever before.
Oh.
Are you all right?
It's a little insane.
Yeah.
Kyle's hair looks crazy. Never seen his hair like
looks
that.
Looks fabulous.
Right? I know. You do look sleek, my friend. On point.
It always looks good.
On fleek. So how was it? Who wants to start? What are we talking about? All I know is you guys stayed in the same hotel room, so I'll just drop that conversation bomb, and then we can dissect
so
it and go
nice.
Back.
He was so nice to let me bunk with him and his party.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was, my husband didn't go, so I was really just by myself, so...
So she needed a man around.
Yeah.
You need a man in the house.
So you were down there. You had a bunch of people with you, though, right?
Well, there were four of us total.
Including Janae?
With Janae, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so my son went down. So two gals and two guys.
Yeah.
Sharing a cheap, seedy hotel.
In St. George?
In St. George, yeah.
Was your husband all right with that?
Huh? Yeah, if I was sleeping with a girl and not a
so two queens and
man,
you slept with a girl.
Yeah,
was that weird? Did you know the girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it becomes less and less weird the more questions that I ask.
We were all friends.
Because otherwise it's like, hey, I got a place in the room.
I think the only one that thought all of this might be a little odd was my son.
Yeah.
Who came along just for fun.
Right.
And to help out.
He's like, I want to watch my dad swim and not almost die.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So how was it? How'd we do? I talked to Brother Kyle already. He said, I'm fat. I could have done better.
That's ridiculous.
Well,
Because done better,
what? So. I'll kind of skip to the end. I had a couple IVs in me.
At the end? Yeah. Really?
Which is salt water into your veins.
Yeah?
And so now I've swollen up.
Uh-huh.
And no kidding. You know, I weigh myself daily, twice.
The morning and then at night?
Uh-huh. My last weigh-in was actually Friday morning.
Okay.
129.4, which is right where I wanted to be, right in the ballpark.
Uh-huh.
Today, I am almost 7 pounds heavier.
Good for you. Water weight? That's awesome.
Yes, in water weight.
How many bags of IV fluid did they give you?
Well, it's just the salt, then you retain water.
Yeah.
And so it's going to take a week to wear
that out. So what happened? Obviously, if you're getting IVs, things did not go well.
Well, let's say over the course of 5.5 hours of extreme workout, you drink one small water bottle and part of a goo that most spills on your body.
Okay.
That's
not
enough.
What a goo is.
Yeah, no, I know what a goo is. It's just electrolytes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know
what a goo is. Essentially just sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the ideal is to keep your body performing at a certain rate. You have to keep your blood sugar at a certain level.
Some fuel in your body, and I didn't do that.
So why? But you know that. You're not dumb.
No,
that's the thing that I'm having a hard time getting here. You know that you need to drink more than a small bottle of water and eat more than half a goo that you spill all over yourself.
Well, and I tried. So the swim went well, but then I got on the bike and started well, and then it got really cold because it was raining.
Okay.
And I'm wearing next to nothing. I'm wearing a tri-singlet one-piece outfit.
Which looks like a wetsuit, right?
It's really thin.
No, it's really thin material, really tight.
But I mean, what it covers is essentially like a wetsuit, right?
Yeah. It's short legs, like shorts, and then no sleeves on
it.
And a little bit of padding for your behind on the bike saddle. And that just froze in my hands. No gloves or anything.
Uh-huh.
And eventually, none of my body worked because it was frozen. My hands were stuck in kind of a half-clenched position.
Yeah.
And literally they were frozen, that I could not open or close them. And so after drinking some of the water bottle, I couldn't get it out to do anymore. Mm.
Super healthy. This sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't supposed to rain that hard.
But you finished.
Well, I did. I got through it, the bike, and I went in, and a wonderful old woman who I'm trying to track down took off my shoes and put on my other shoes. As I sat there and shivered, I'll admit that I cry on mm-hmm. the bike at one point. I just sat and sobbed at 30 miles an hour, freezing, shaking uncontrollably. I just started sobbing.
So what did other people do in this thing? Like, what did you do? It was
out.
Freezing.
So
did you bring sweatpants and a hoodie?
Tons of people dropped out from hypothermia. The only reason I was kind of able to...
It's because you got a little extra on you. So you
because, yeah, I'm just... Thanks
I'm
just, a lot
I'm
for
teasing.
That.
I'm teasing.
That made me feel super good.
I'm teasing.
I appreciate that so much. No, I knew that it was going to be cold, and I don't do well in cold. I actually, my body has a hard time warming up if I get to a certain point.
Yeah.
It's just impossible. So I knew that
because you don't have any of that extra. That's why.
Well, thanks, Richie.
Redemption.
There you go. You dug yourself out of that one.
Whoop.
Pretty quick. So I had to do the whole, you come out of the water and you're all wet,
mm-hmm.
and typically it's not a big deal. You just jump on your bike and you dry off and it's not a big deal.
Right.
But this, since it was going to be cold, nobody knew how cold, but I knew it would be cold. I figured I better not get on the bike with wet clothes. So I did the whole, I've got this maxi skirt that turns into a dress and you can pull it all the way up. And I put that on over what I was wearing while swimming.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pulled off my sports bra
mm-hmm.
and my swimsuit bottoms up from underneath that and put on dry ones.
Oh, nice.
And then I put on my tri-kit, my uniform. And then I put on, luckily I had a jacket that was nice and that was not too big that I could bike in it. It wouldn't flap all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So I put that on and was if I have to throw this off to the side, at some point I will. It's not a big deal. But I forgot my sunglasses, so I had rain stinging my eyes as I rode. And
yeah.
I basically didn't see the whole bike ride because I couldn't see through all the rain. And I didn't have any gloves, so that was unfortunate. But I think because I wasn't going into it wet and just my jacket got soaked from all the rain, but the rest of me was a little bit warmer than everybody else, I survived.
Yeah.
I survived.
No IVs at the end.
No IVs at the end. It was okay. But boy, plenty of people just had a really rough time. And the fact, honestly, the fact that Kyle made it through the whole thing is a miracle. It's a miracle.
Look at that, Kyle.
I don't know about that.
He's amazing.
It's a miracle.
He really is. He's a machine. Brother Kyle is an absolute machine.
I'm a machine.
How long did it take you?
I don't even want to talk about it.
He had a great time. I don't know why he doesn't want to say it. He had a good time.
It was 5.5 hours.
Okay. What did you get?
It's amazing. I made it under the allotted cutoff time. I was just over 8. You have 8.5 hours.
Oh, really?
I had 16 hours.
Nice work.
16 minutes to spare. There's no earthly reason why I should have been there. And I shouldn't have been able to finish, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. She the machine with mono, training with mono for several months.
Darn mono. Well, I haven't been able to train. That's what has been so frustrating. So it was a whole lot of prayers. In all honesty, I was carried through that whole day by a whole bunch of prayers. I've got nobody but my Heavenly Father to thank for that.
Right on.
Really cool.
And
so will you do it again?
As soon as it comes up again, because now I'm mad.
Yeah?
I'm really
now you
mad.
Have a what should you have been at?
I wanted to beat 5 hours.
Okay. So that's a good chunk of time.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have been eight.
Maybe I should have. And there's a... The reason that I finished was not because of everybody's prayers, because those all went to Janae.
Yeah.
And
listen, we have to pick, and they're
the
going to Janae.
Said, let's go with Janae.
They're like, well, Kyle's semi-pro, and Janae's an awkward newbie, so we'll send those to Janae.
Well, I was there with my son walking down to the water, and just before they stage you to walk down this. It's like people getting onto the bus at Auschwitz. It's very solemn.
Aww.
It's very sad. and you know that you're going to your doom.
Uh-huh.
So I'm standing at the top. The last other people can see you. And my son gives me a hug, says good luck, you know, see you later. And I'm walking down, and a guy says, "Hey, is that your son?" And I get talking to the guy, a guy from Las Vegas, and said, "You know, that's really cool that you'll do this. You're going to set this great example of perseverance, of hard work." And and of course, my joke at first was, "He's, you know, what a great example to set for your son." And I said, "Oh, of what not to do when you grow up?"
Yeah.
No. Of, you know, of all these things, you know, that you can teach him that he's going to learn from this. So, curse that guy, because I would have quit when I was done with the bike.
Right, but you kept thinking about your kid, right? And
I'm
can't be an
kidding.
Example of quitting.
I'm not kidding.
I'm sure you're not kidding.
Because I sat there on the ground on cement, shivering as this woman, you know, tried to hit my body and shake it and rub me to thaw me out. And I'm sitting there sobbing. She's taking my helmet off and changing my shoes for me.
Mm.
And all that was going through my head is, what a great example you're setting for your son, Tonson.
I'll tell you what, though. To that point, my dad has run the St. George Marathon, I'm pretty sure, since it existed. If not from then. Even now, when he can't even barely walk because he's run too hard in his life. Which, by the way, that's your destiny. I'll show you my dad. and he gets around all right, but like the bending and the anything else, he's pretty much worn his body out. But watching my dad cross the finish line, it was a thing where it was like, Dad, work, you know, you remember all the times when he had got up early when we were on vacation and went running because he had to get his miles in, and all the hard work it was. And I remember when my dad and I ran, when I ran my first marathon, was the Las Vegas Rock and Roll in 2007. And, you're there on Main Street, or on
that race.
On not
I
Main
was
Street.
With your dad?
Yeah.
Look at that. Wow.
My dad's like, son, you know, I always hoped that one of my kids would grow up to run a race with me, and I just start bawling. And, you know, he's in so much better shape than me. This is the rest of the story, and it's funny, so I'll tell you real quick. So he's in so much better shape than me, and I was just, you know, I had trained pretty well. My first marathon, I got 3 hours and 53 minutes, so I'm no slouch necessarily.
No.
But he usually finishes in like 308, 309. And so, like, I was drinking plenty of water. He's like, make sure you keep your fluids up so you're not like Brother Kyle, man. That's the worst thing you could do.
Yeah.
So I kept stopping at each of the water stops, you know, and grabbing some water and drinking it. So I had to go to the bathroom a bunch, and he did too. He would drink with me, which he didn't normally do. He would skip a couple stops because he weighs less and all that stuff. And so because he drank more than he was normally used to, he had to stop like every 10 minutes. "I'll catch up to you, son." He'd run off, and then he'd run back to me, he'd run circles. "How are we doing? How you feel?" "I gotta go again." Run back to the restroom and come back. And anyway, so that's kind of fun. You're an inspiration to your kid. It's a miracle that you're an inspiration to your kid.
Well, he supposedly, because I was still on the course when Kyle finished, supposedly he gets done with the whole thing and they're like, "Yay, you did it, Daddy." And then he just found some flowers and passed out right in them.
Really?
I was trying to get to some grass and I didn't make it. I passed out in dirt and rocks.
Good for you.
And they came and they got me in a wheelchair, and then I lost consciousness again, and they weren't holding me in, so I slid out of the wheelchair to the ground.
So they're like,
"I know,
oh,
comical,
no."
Huh? So now I'm on the ground. They leave me there for a minute before they hoist me back in the wheelchair.
Well, sure.
And evidently, I didn't know this because I was unconscious mostly. The only thing that really that I said out loud was, they said, "Let's get an ambulance and take him to the hospital." And I cursed. Sorry. Remember, curse words are okay in certain situations.
Sure. Was it telestial, terrestrial, or celestial swear words?
It was all the way up there.
It was the celestial swear word?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't hear about that.
And I said, "There's no way that you're taking me to hospital because I can't pay you and I can't afford it."
Right.
So I said, "I will kill you with my bare hands if you take me to the..."
You said
to
an ambulance.
Yeah. The doctors told me later, they had a good laugh about it.
Yeah.
Said, "Oh, we knew you were out of it, so..."
That's really...
"But you
funny.
Didn't want to go to a hospital." I said, "Yeah, I didn't."
Did you get one of those cool metal blankets?
Yes. I have like 3 of them.
Those are the best.
It really worked good.
Yeah. So that's it? That it? That good? You guys good? Yeah, you safe? I mean, you healthy?
We're safe and healthy. We're sore a tiny bit. I'm like trying to chase my children and they're like, ha, mommy can't get us. She's walking back in the
freedom. So just so everyone knows, the triathlon was how far of a what and a what and a this?
It's a 1.2 mile swim.
Okay.
And neither of us drowned, so that was good.
How many laps is that in a pool? Like in an Olympic pool?
It is, oh gosh, I did it the other day. And I
it's 2,000 meters, so in a 25-meter pool, what is that?
That'd be four.
I can't do math right now.
My four to make 100, so 80?
80 in a pool.
Yeah, 80 in the pool.
I couldn't think straight at all. I called Kyle the wrong name. I called two other guys from my team the wrong names, and I was like, what is happening? Nah.
So it's a bunch of laps in the pool. Then how far is the bike?
56-mile bike.
Okay.
Ride.
And then the run is half marathon?
Half marathon, 13.1
miles. Jeez, good for you guys. And the run's the last part, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're good and fried by the time you're...
Feeling good.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm happy that the run is last because that's my strong point. So it's like I got to catch up to everyone that just went zoom, zoom right past me. I didn't even see Kyle past me. Hmm. He was a blur.
Too fast.
A frozen blur.
What was that white shadow? I'm trying to think if I have... Now I feel like I didn't do anything. I worked. I did that.
Yeah, you had a big work
We had a
weekend.
Big concert for the day job on Saturday. That was fun.
Oh, that
rained.
Looked fun.
It rains every single year for that concert. And it was fun. I get to interview bands and hang out backstage and have a good time. And
I think
freeze?
This may be the first year that I haven't.
Yeah, I was going to say, because normally you hit me up like the day before. Hey, you got tickets? Anything you can do? Did I freeze? Not like Brother Kyle.
Did you remember to drink water?
I did remember to stay hydrated.
That's good.
I'm trying to think if there is anything else. I feel like there should be something else that I did, but I don't know that there is. I don't know.
Nothing?
No. Like, I want there to be something.
Sometimes nothing is good.
Yeah. I'm excited, though, on next week, me and DJ Rob, we get to go to a banquet.
Like what kind of banquet?
Because I don't think he mentioned it when he was on Articles of News, but his business, his DJ business, won a state recognition award.
Right.
It's a fairly big deal. And so we get to go to the banquet together, and he paid for my ticket. They're $90 ticket.
You have to pay to go to the banquet?
You bet.
And they're honoring you?
Yes. I think it's kind of a sham.
Yeah. It sounds like a UB to me.
But yeah, right? The Utah Broadcasters thing? Yeah. No, but I'm excited about that. Yesterday I was late for church. I woke up a little bit late.
What time is church for you?
Church is 9, so I got the 9 o'clock church. So I woke up at 8:41, and I was like, man, I'm tired. I'm going to sleep a couple more minutes. And then I woke up at like 9:17, and I was like, Telestial. So I hurried and got ready and got over to church. And it was Mother's Day, right? So what did you... Did you guys go to church down in the St. George?
No, I was like, let's go to church. And then we were like, we... Can't really.
Really, and we look at each other like, what is
what?
She doing?
We're on vacation.
No, it was Mother's Day, so we wanted to get back.
Right. So there, in this ward, it was flowers. Flowers for Mom. Right. I've seen some delicious things. Like I think last year in our ward we did chocolates, right? The Utah
chocolates,
truffles,
yummy.
And stuff like that.
Gave the men little sacks of bacon, Ziplocs full of bacon on Father's Day.
I think that they forgot to water the flowers. I think they bought them earlier in the week and then forgot to water them because it was what are those things called? The crates, not crates. There's a specific name for them.
There's those little
I don't know
the flower
anyway,
holders
the flower holder things right and they're all just all of them wilty and I was like
wait were these in pots
they're like little plastic
pots case, it's yeah, like, got like six.
Like where you take them out and then you stick them in the ground you would never leave them in the little things
well they got left in the little things
yeah and no one watered them. It was hilarious. Because it's raining outside. Like, if they just would have left them outside, it would have been... Anyway. Let's take a break for a minute, and we'll come back and do actual articles of news in just a minute.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hi, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City. Many of our customers are computer experts with decades of experience that are so smart they know how to build their own computers with their own bare hands. Yet they buy their computers from PC Laptops because of one thing: the PC Laptops desktop lifetime parts and labor warranty. If a video card blows up, normally you'd have to mail it to Chumbawamba for weeks to get service. Imagine having your computer down for weeks. Experts buy from PC Laptops because time is money. And if you have a part fail on your PC Laptops desktop, we will replace it forever for free. Get a brand new PC Laptops desktop for just $7.99 with a lifetime warranty at any PC Laptops locations. While supplies last, $7.99, you can't beat that deal. Please visit us at any one of our locations right now. Call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. Desktop computers with a lifetime warranty for just $7.99.
It's time for the second half of Articles of News. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
All right, I want to go ahead and start with this one right here. 59% of millennials, that is those that are what? What's the millennial cutoff? 95.
Isn't that what we figured out last week, 2 weeks ago?
59% of millennials say that Sunday is religiously insignificant.
Bah!
It sounds right.
Only 22% of millennials attend church, a study finds. The loss of interest in religious rest is most pronounced among the millennial generation. Only 41% of millennials consider Sunday to have religious meaning, compared to 51% of Generation X, 56% of baby boomers, and 58% of the silent generation. Only 22% of millennials report attending church. In fact, 18% report working on a typical Sunday. For the research, YouGov interviewed 1,700 individuals from April 13th to 15th and matched down the sample to 1,000 with a margin of 3.1%. Kelsey Dallas of Deseret News noted that the findings also show members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and evangelicals are disproportionately more observant of the Sabbath than the general population. Mormons are 28 percentage points more likely than average to spend time in religious meditation and more than 40 percentage points more likely to attend church. Evangelical Protestants are 15 percentage points more likely to attend church and read the Bible on the Sabbath, the survey reported. They're also less likely than others to work in or around the home or participate in sports or outdoor activities.
Is it the lazy generation? Is that the millennial?
Millennial?
Yeah.
Or is it entitled generation?
Yeah, no.
Or the entitled. Okay.
Well, but it's interesting to note that it's less for the LDS folk, that we still are going to church more than the general population.
Does that really surprise you, though? I mean, I would kind of expect.
No, because we stress it. We stress it so much, but it's important. That's what I guess what it is, right? I mean, we joke about going on vacation to church and going every Sunday and, you know, what's active and what's all that. But, I mean, I think that it's an important thing to do. And the more and more you'll see the world kind of go, meh, church, not as significant. I feel like it's more important that we go at that point. Like 100 years ago, I wouldn't have gone to church.
Because it took a week.
Right?
And a horse
because
and a wagon.
A
and walked. but now's the important time. So.
Wrap your butter in that, you got to wrap your cheese and butter in that towel.
It's cloth. It's a cloth. Not a towel.
I guess they don't have towels. They didn't have towels back then.
What's the cloth called? It was cheesecloth.
Cheesecloth?
Cheesecloth,
yeah.
Right?
There's cheesecloth, but you'd have like a linen cloth to wrap up your cheese and your butter and your bread, and then you'd go get on your donkey mule or your horse.
Horse. Probably not donkey or mule.
So only the rich people had horses.
Okay.
Or like, yeah, right?
So they would walk.
They rode donkeys.
And they walked.
Yeah, because they were less expensive.
Yeah. The donkey's like the Yugo of the 1800s.
I wonder, were donkeys less expensive? Are they nowadays?
I don't know.
I thought that's what I had understood. Now, you guys are looking at me like,
yeah,
I'm crazy.
I don't think that's right.
I don't know.
maybe.
That's what I thought. Seemed, genealogy. I had a whole
right,
bunch
so
of
like people ride
ancestors.
By on horses and they're like, one day, son, one day you're going to ride a horse. Now go get on your donkey. I don't think that's how that worked. Maybe. I've never thought about it that way.
This far west, where's the, they, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just going to, we'll move on.
Yep. Historian folks, let us know.
I'm actually interested. I would like to know.
Should go. We'll ask our Mormon history guy.
I'll ask him, Russell. As a point of history, the first temple in Philadelphia, that is Pennsylvania, the only one in Pennsylvania, will be opening soon, and the public will be allowed to tour it before it is formally dedicated. Remember that this temple also has the big skyscraper that the church owns right next to it. There's businesses, there's levels for different companies to own, and then also housing as part of it as well. Quote, our temples are considered houses of the Lord where the most sacred ordinances of our faith take place. For instance, marriage and our meeting houses are where we gather every Sunday for worship services.
Unless you're a millennial.
Right. And then you just don't go. I want to see when this says it opens. Oh, here we go. You can go tour if you are in that part of the country or happen to be heading towards that part of the country. August 10th through September 9th, it will be open for people to be able to go through. Then it'll, of course, be closed for a short time and then dedicated. So way to go, Pennsylvania. Get your temple.
That's really neat. Have you guys been out there and seen all the construction so far?
Out in Pennsylvania? Mm-hmm. No.
Out in Philly?
No.
It's ridiculous.
Is it cool?
This is huge. I mean, I saw it last year when it was still probably maybe halfway done, and it was like, wow, what is going up there? And it's like, oh, it's the Mormon
but
temple.
It's like a city block of stuff, right? It's
huge,
the temple
it's
and then the
area.
And then the skyscraper and then like a park or something, I thought as well.
Yeah, it's impressive. It'll be good to have a like major church presence there.
I'm interested still to know and haven't found out the answer. So if someone listening to this knows, you can always email us contact@theculturalhall.com. Why? Because I know I get it with Salt Lake, with City Creek, that they build the mall and then all the places to live here in Salt Lake, right? Because it's headquarters, it's hub. But why Philadelphia? Why did they decide to do that high rise there? Someone knows. Like, why not, you know, of all the places.
Why not Chicago or...
Yeah, or San Diego or any of these other places.
Nice.
Yeah. Philadelphia could be nice.
Yeah, it could be. And maybe that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah. But I wonder if that... So was that the thing? Do we have some sort of investment as a church goes that... You know, maybe with property that we're trying to up the value of it or why that part in Philadelphia? Was it part of the deal in order to have a temple we had to buildings downtown or, you know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
What the reasoning is behind it? I'd be fascinated to know. You had a story.
Okay. Yes. A 45-year-old Centerville man was hit by a bus while riding his bicycle on Friday in preparation for the St. George 2016 Ironman.
Hmm.
Let's just go to the man who was hit by the bus and find out his firsthand account.
You didn't talk about getting hit by a bus.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
People, this man was hit by a bus, and then he left the next day to go and run a freaking half Ironman.
So I forgot about that. Yeah, a bus ran over me.
Yeah, so how does that happen? Were you being stupid or was the bus being stupid?
I had just got onto the road, so I hadn't been going very long, a couple minutes, and a bus came to the side of me and slowed down quite a bit to my speed and then started coming over, and I started slowing down to get out of the way, and he slowed down more and moved over more, till eventually we were quite slow and there was no more road, and he hit me with his bus, and I toppled over. So I ran to the side of the bus. Maybe he didn't see me, I thought. Fat chance, but maybe this wasn't on purpose. So I smacked the window with my hand and waved my arms and said, hey, you hit me. Hang on. And a car pulled in front of him so that because he was trying to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me, and then he looked straight ahead, and he started driving at the car.
Really?
So the car moved out of the way, so I jumped in front of the bus and waved my arms again and said, wait, hey, you hit me, wait. And cars are now honking and getting in his way. And he started driving at me again. And so I got out of the way because I didn't want to get hit again.
Sure.
As you know, logic would have it, and eventually drove around the other cars and drove away.
Can you believe that? A bus maneuvered its way out.
Like a big bus?
Like a Utah Transit Authority bus filled with passengers.
Oh, my gosh. Did they get him?
They did.
Yeah? And what did he say?
I don't know because I haven't seen it yet, and it will take a little while, but there are attorneys involved, and there are going to be some things that happen.
Are you
going to
get a bike paid for? Did it cripple your
bike? My bike's fine, and really, I don't want any money.
Right.
I want somebody that's dangerous off the streets.
Yeah.
Somebody who is evidently very angry.
Mm-hmm. And if not angry, irresponsible as far as what his position is.
Yeah.
Right?
Because
you don't plow people, or even if you do, right, you don't then drive off.
Yeah.
You don't drive into their cars till they're... sort of accept the responsibility of what you did.
Sure.
Are you okay?
Oh, yeah. Were you
scared? Is that why you cried?
I was angry.
It's a miracle that you're alive, Kyle. Look at this.
It is a miracle.
I used two more of my lives. Yeah. I'm like at 11 now.
He's so mad at you that you don't believe in miracles. I asked him. I said, forgive Brother Kyle. He's like, I'm having a hard time. I know I said 7 times 70, but he's running out.
But he's running.
He's running out of times.
So many miracles.
And if you want to, if you ever wanted to meet me, if you want to hop on the 70 bus from Ogden to Salt Lake tomorrow that passes through Centerville at 5:05 p.m. on Main Street, be on that bus.
Okay.
Because I will be.
Okay. That sounds like a great time. So why are you going to be on that bus?
I just want to sit right up front by the bus driver with a picture of my son and just, yeah, I won't harass him. I'll just talk to him.
Is that the bus driver?
Yeah.
And he still works? I would have thought they wouldn't.
I don't know. I don't know yet.
You're really going to do that? Going to be that confrontational?
Oh, I'm just going to, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit there.
Just don't get arrested, okay?
No, I won't because I'm not going to do anything.
Sure. You had a news story.
Yeah. In sadder news than that even, former Senator Bob Bennett of Utah dies at age 82.
Mormon?
He is. Former Senator Bob Bennett of Utah, who was one of the first incumbent Republicans to lose a seat to a Tea Party challenger in 2010, died Wednesday. Bennett assistant Tara Tanner told reporters that the death came from complications related to pancreatic cancer and a recent stroke. Mr. Bennett was elected to the Senate in 1992 and won three terms. He was widely beloved for his gentlemanly demeanor and support for local entrepreneurs. Prior to entering the public office, Mr. Bennett was the son of a U.S. senator and of the descendant of a family prominent in the hierarchy of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Who's his family?
That's what I was just trying to scan down here and...
Hold on.
It doesn't mention because I didn't know that his family was in... He was LDS.
Yeah, it makes sense. Let me see what I can find out about that.
In the 2010 Utah State Republican Convention, Mr. Bennett could only finish third behind Mike Lee and Tim Bridgewater, both of whom had backing of a Tea Party groups. Mr. Lee went on to win the Republican nomination and Senate seat. I'm saddened to hear the passing of Senator Bennett. He spent his life in the service of others. He endured well the trials of cancer in his final years. My condolences go out to his family and the friends and colleagues that he left behind. Mr. Lee posted on Twitter on Wednesday night, Mr. Bennett is survived by his wife, Joyce, 6 children and 20 grandchildren.
I'm trying to see what I can track down about this. He's the grand. Oh, okay. He's the grandson of Heber J. Grant. President Grant.
Oh, really?
Yeah. How about that?
I was thinking for the name and I didn't.
Yeah, I was like Bennett. Nope. Heber J. Grant was his grandpa.
Oh.
And his dad was a senator as well. Wallace, listen to this name, Wallace Foster Bennett. If there was never a senator's name like that, Wallace Foster Bennett. This I thought was an interesting story, and it has relevance because, well, former Mormon. So I'll just share this. Michael Udall, does that name sound familiar to you guys?
No.
Grew up a practicing Mormon, but the religion wasn't for him, this says. When it came time to fulfill his church sanctioned mission, the teenager opted to attend college instead. Freshman year, I definitely didn't take my studies serious at all, says Udall, running his fingers through his hair. I was there to party and have a good time. Then the esports thing came around, and it gave me a new focus and vision. Today, Udall is one of the top-ranked collegiate, quote, heroes of the storm, players in the world. In April, he led his team from Arizona State University on an undefeated streak to the Heroes of the Dorm tournament held in Seattle, and took home the grand prize of paid college tuition and serious bragging rights. He also landed a scholarship earlier this year, which means he got paid real money to play video games. So he's, I just thought it was sort of fascinating. A former Mormon guy is a champion video game player. I'm not going to go to school for real. I'm playing video games. I hate the Mormons.
Do not let my kids see that story.
Done.
Do not let them know about
that.
He's
like, I could go to college.
Dad, look. Look, this one guy did this. I could be the next, this one guy.
Money. It's a job. It's like a job.
Lay off me, Dad. I'm practicing for my job.
Train for work, Dad.
Can I say how cute his son is? I just met him over the weekend.
Nope, you can't say how cute he is.
He is delightful. This kid is absolutely delightful.
Is he respectful?
As cute as can be. He is respectful.
Do you think that he'd miss his dad if his dad went on a 6-week mission?
I think he would support him. I think he would support him in that.
And you couldn't quit because otherwise your son would see that you quit.
Thank you. He is a good kid, actually.
Way better than you, right?
Way. He's good Kyle.
Yeah, he's good Kyle.
As I like to call him. And just real quick before we get too far away from it, looking at the prices of donkeys real quick here and knowing the price of a horse.
Yeah.
They are slightly less.
Donkeys are slightly less?
Did you check the listings for 1827?
How much did a donkey cost?
What did it cost back then compared?
Well, I can tell you, partridge in a pear tree was... Remember that? How they do that every Christmas? If you bought all the items on...
Oh, yes. Yes.
Let's see. Where other stories do I want to go with? This is interesting. Earlier this week... A car caught fire in the parking lot of the Draper Utah Temple.
What?
Extensively damaging two other cars. Check out that picture. You can see a link to this at theculturalhall.com.
Oh, wow. That's
cool. So check that out right there. Yeah, right.
Fire.
The cause of the fire, still unknown. Fire officials were called to the scene to suppress the flames, but the car, total loss. And as you go to theculturalhall.com to look at the picture, it's melted. That sucker is fried.
It's a skeleton.
Someone went in the temple that wasn't supposed to.
Yeah. I warned you! The Draper Utah Temple is the 12th temple built in Utah and third in the Salt Lake Valley. It has an expansive parking lot with 492 spaces. The fire occurred in an outer lot, and the temple remains unharmed. It is sort of fascinating, though. I mean, this car, maybe I'll get the pictures. We'll share it on Instagram.
You should. That's graphic right there.
But, like, you're trying to do your very best, right? And, you know, maybe you just got back to paying tithing, and you're like, all right, I'm going to be blessed. I'm seriously going to be blessed. And you go in, and it's a great session. You're like, oh, man, that was really great. And you come out,
finally,
and you're like,
I got my car paid off. I'm going to drop my insurance.
People are like, get the water. Yeah. You hear sirens coming up the street.
It's obliterated. It really is. It is fried. Nay, melted that automobile.
New meaning to the word pillar.
A pillar of fire.
Words are hard right now for me.
Where else?
There's a new teaching manual
for the teachers, right?
Yeah. Now, did they announce this in church yesterday?
I was late, so I don't know.
Okay.
But it's like teaching, the old manual is like teaching no greater call or something like that. Is it an adaptation of that or a renovation?
It's like teaching in the Savior's way.
It is. The story is LDS leaders announced a new teaching manual for teacher council meetings. LDS leaders continue to implement an emphasis on improved church teaching and learning Sunday when they release a new
manual.
I like
the idea of an improvised church lesson.
I do, too.
Well, you're on a park bench.
For Sunday school and other teachers announced a new program to provide monthly teaching training. Each congregation will begin to hold a teacher council meeting once a month. Well, good, another meeting. During the regular three-hour schedule. Oh, so it's during church.
Yeah.
Of weekly
so if you're
Sunday
a teacher,
meetings.
You get to go to the teacher's class.
Yeah.
To learn to be a better
okay,
teacher.
Now that's smart. That's great.
Should, your ward should do it now. It's one. This is one of the ones that doesn't get taught very often. There's the temple prep that kind of gets taught every once in a while. Then you got the marriage
and family.
And that one is probably a little bit more taught. But this is the one that always gets neglected.
Yeah, the new one is called Teaching in the Savior's Way. The manual was introduced Sunday in an email from the headquarters of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to local leaders and all teachers. It replaces the manual and training program Teaching No Greater Call, first introduced in 1978 and updated in 1999. So it's about time we probably needed a revision. Elder Holland said that teacher council meetings are not training presentations, but dialogues where teachers in a single congregation counsel together and share suggestions and challenges and ideas. All teachers in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are unpaid volunteers called out of congregations by local leaders. Did you know that?
Did what?
All teachers in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are unpaid volunteers.
Yeah.
Called out of the congregation.
Thanks.
It's just, but that's really in there.
Of course it is. We're appealing. What's the press that comes from? Is that Deseret News?
That doesn't say on here, actually.
Let me see the front of it. I can tell you if it's Deseret News. Yeah, that's Deseret News. So it's Deseret News trying to be broad scoping. In case you didn't know, in case you're reading the Deseret News. I've got this story. Did I give you the one about the rock climbing guy? Did I give you that, Brother Kyle?
No.
You don't. A Garland man, dead.
Oh.
After falling 75 feet in Logan Canyon last week, at about 9 a.m., Cache County Sheriff's deputies were dispatched to the incident in an area known as First Wall. William Hornberger was assisting a group of young women in a climbing activity, according to a press release from the sheriff's office. Wow. The release states that Hornberger climbed to the top section of the hill to tie in anchors for the group. In the process of doing so, William slipped and fell approximately 75 feet, according to the release. The incident was witnessed by others in the group. Paramedics from Logan City Fire Department and the Cache County Sheriff's Search and Rescue Unit responded to the scene. According to the release, crews cut the lock off of a gate, allowing the quick access to the area. Hornberger was taken by ambulance to Logan Regional Hospital, where he later succumbed to his injuries. Investigators have determined the incident to be an unfortunate accident. But can you imagine, because it's a young women's activity, hey ladies, I'll go take you rock climbing, and then to have something like that happen.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine. That's incredibly tragic.
And apparently he was a fairly, everyone's fairly well loved, but he has a lot of community support that's come for him and his family.
Willing to go take all the young women out to go rappelling when you know that plenty of those girls are like, no, I don't want to. Don't make me.
And the rest are like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I just had to offer the opposite point of view than what you were saying. Because there are some people who are like, Janae, women can rock climbing.
The other half would be like me. Oh my gosh, you can do it.
You're
it's okay.
So great.
We'll do it together and I'll hold your hand. It'll be so awesome. You guys, this is so neat. Look how
we are so blessed for this opportunity. Hold on.
I got to tell you something my son said on the way home driving yesterday.
Okay. Dad, is she always like
Janae.
That?
Yes.
Oh no.
He said that. And he said,
obnoxious all the time.
No, he was blown away. He says, because he saw me after the race, and it wasn't pretty, and I wasn't happy. And then he sees Janae after the race, who is, she's sick, she doesn't feel good, but she's talking and chipper, and, you know, pleasant conversation, and he's like, I wish I could be like that happy all the time, and even when I'm tired, I wish I could be that positive.
Really?
Yeah.
He said that?
Yes, he
did.
That's
so nice of him. Holy cow.
His son has a crush on you.
I have a fat crush on his son.
Don't let your son listen to this episode. He'll be playing video games and dating married women.
She was different than I thought she would be. She was way younger. I said, you thought she was going to be my age. Well,
there's 15 years between your dad and I, right? I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which that actually blows my mind because, I mean, I just hung out with you guys all weekend. It was great. I had a good time.
I know. With somebody between the ages of 14 and 46.
There you go.
In the same hotel room. And boy, that place, let me tell you, it was a bat. It was a
pretty,
dive.
Dude, pretty crummy, the hotel.
So crappy.
You know what? I love doing that when I stay anywhere. I know this isn't news, but I absolutely love just the crappiest places. Because most of the time, I'm never in the room.
Yeah.
So if I can save $40 and sleep on a wet carpet, you bet. I'll sleep on a wet carpet. Okay, nappy, gross. You know, when I, one time I went to, should I share this story? Let me think.
Yes, you should.
One time I went to New Orleans, and it was for a work thing, and I wanted to go. I'd never been to New Orleans before, so I wanted to go out early and get an idea of what it looked like. So I went out a day early, and for people who don't know New Orleans, there's like where the tourists go, and then you get shot everywhere else. Like, that's how New Orleans sort of works. And I can't remember, like, the bad neighborhood, but that's where my hotel was, like, smack in the middle of the bad neighborhood.
Where you pay hourly for
and,
that motel?
Yeah, almost. And so I'm getting a ride from the airport to the hotel, and my cabbie is like, "You're staying here?" and I was like, "Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to stay here the whole time. I'm just going to stay here tonight." And he's like, "If I were you, I'd find another place to stay." And I'm like, "Well, you know, I looked at it online, and it didn't look too bad online. And it was really affordable. So I was like, yeah, you know." So I got in before dark because that guy freaked me out. So I went and grabbed something to eat real quick and got in before dark. And, like, all night, I keep hearing, like, yelling in the different rooms that are there. And at one point, someone knocks on my door, and I'm like, I don't know if I should answer this. But I was like, well, I don't know. Anyway, I come to the door, and I open it, and it's this lady that's so strung out, like the darkest pitted eyes I've ever seen. She's like, "Is this my room?" She's carrying a suitcase that's open and just dragging it. I'm like, "What room are you looking for?" And so I help her down. She's just strung out, helping her down there. And I get back in my bed. This is true, and I'm not making this up. I get back in my bed, and I'm like, "I just want to stay in a different hotel now. I just want," but it was crazy. I went out at one point in the night. I couldn't sleep. I go out. The guy is smoking not a cigar, but something. And I'm looking over the street that we're staying on. And he's like, "Watch that, man." So I'm watching this guy, and then I watch another guy kind of walk by, and they just, like, brush each other, and he's like, "Yep, that was a drug deal." And he's looking over here. He's like, "Check this out." And it was, like, the seediest.
Oh.
He's like, "That lady will do whatever." And I'm
whatever,
like, "What are we? I'm done." Morning comes. As soon as I woke up, because I finally fell asleep, as soon as I woke up, took a cab and got straight out of there, took my stuff and left.
That makes our place sound like the Four Seasons.
Well, before you got back, I was trying to get a little nap in, and there was a knock at the door.
Uh-huh.
And the other young lady with us answered the door, so I wouldn't have to get up.
Right.
And her say something and come back, and then I heard another knock. It's some strung out woman trying to find her dealer.
Oh, as that's for real? Down, a meth head
knocking
on the door.
At all the doors.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't know which room he was in, just knew he was in the hotel.
Oh, boy.
"I'm looking for... are you my dealer?" "I'm the gatekeeper."
"I am the gatekeeper." Someone says that you are the keymaster. You say yes.
No. Someone asks if you are a god, right? Isn't that what it is?
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Someone asks you're a god, you say no. No, you say yes. Oh, crap. I've ruined the whole Ghostbusters
so
quote.
Long, I can't remember now.
Someone asks if you're a god. Yeah, goodness, someone asks. Goodness. If someone asks if you're a god, you say yes, Ray. All right.
Funny thing about that, I'll say this. I was supposed to spend the night with, like, all with my girls. With,
yeah,
like,
with
my
your tri-girls,
my
right?
Tri-girls.
In a nice place.
I mean, they were like, "You won't have a bed." And I'm like, "Oh, this is a half Iron Man. I better sleep in a bed. That'll be good."
Mm-hmm.
I did not sleep at all.
Nervous?
The night before. So dang nervous.
Mm.
So terribly, terribly, like, nervous. Yeah. So I just stared at the ceiling and listened to Kyle snore.
You snore, Brother Kyle?
Did I snore?
Someone was snoring.
Aww,
I don't,
kid.
I don't know
my
which
son,
one.
Actually.
Was it your cute
yes,
son?
Yes, it was.
All right, you
your
guys stop being cute. Let's move on. How about this one? Do you have more stories? Do you have one more?
Yeah, I got one more.
And you
I got
have
one more.
All right, let me do this one. Sandra Jolly, who is a Mormon, was recently appointed to the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. She's a Las Vegas resident, a local church leader and advocate for women and families, was appointed to the USCIRF, which is what I just told you, by Senator Harry Reid. And you can read all about her and about what she's doing. They strive to defend religious freedom around the world and makes policy recommendations to the U.S. government. So just a significant appointing. Sandra Jolly, way to go. Why don't you do yours, sister?
You could.
Sister Janamanite?
Yep. All right. Faith and Fame. Former Dancing with the Stars professional Chelsea Hightower shares her story. Have you read this? She has a fascinating story, actually.
Like what?
Well, let's just find out.
Okay.
Mr. Richardson.
You don't know,
sir.
Do you?
Mr.
Did Richardson. You pre-read it?
No, of course I did.
Okay.
She's a ballroom dancer.
I know that.
What I used to do. So here we go.
All right, give me the story.
While visiting New York City in early 2013, Chelsea Hightower attended an LDS sacrament meeting where she heard a man's conversion story, and it made her reconsider the importance of her career. Hightower, a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from Orem, Utah, had just finished her seventh season as a professional dancer on ABC's Dancing with the Stars. For me, it was the first time in a long time that I had felt the spirit that strongly in my life, said Hightower. And I think it's easy once you get kind of off the path to forget those feelings. I think that's why they constantly talk about remembering in the scriptures. It kind of freaked me out and made me realize that I was much further away from the gospel than I should be. It was sort of a wake-up call to me, and that's when I just buried my head in my hands and started crying.
Mm.
It goes through and it talks about... what her story was, where she came from Orem. She started dancing. She started dancing with BYU's youth team. And then she eventually made it onto the very popular show, So You Think You Can Dance,
okay.
Contestant show. And then after that, after she did so successfully there, she was hired on as a professional with Dancing with the Stars. And it goes on, it says 4 months later after touring with the cast of So You Think You Can Dance, this is 4 months after that experience.
Mm-hmm.
After touring with the transition to Los Angeles and the pressure of the show, she found herself having anxiety and panic attacks, but she poured herself into dance yet. And then she says, I remember people would compliment me about being able to remain true to the church. And I remember thinking it was a no-brainer to me. To me, it was, how could I not? How could I give up something that is so good and something that I have to have? I need that strength and I need the atonement and God in my life to be able to do what I'm doing. And I had this really clear vision that God had given me all of this. However, over time, Hightower began to feel tired. Being in L.A. for so long, after a while, it starts to wear on you, and it starts to wear on your perspective of what's important and what's not. Sorry, I totally just cleared my throat and then lost my place.
She's pretty fascinating. If anyone knows, anyone that listens knows Chelsea Hightower, I'd love to get her in as an episode of the Cultural Hall.
I would love that. It'd be fascinating. Thank you. I just found my place again. Which brings us back to her experience in a church pew in New York City, where after hearing a stranger's conversion story, Hightower began to pray. I just said a prayer to Heavenly Father, and I said, if this is what is necessary, take this career from me. That was 2013, and I've never been on the show since. She gave it up. 6 months later, Hightower moved back to Utah. Although she still dances in shows throughout the country, she lives a life she describes as, quote-unquote, very normal. It's less exciting than it was before, but at the same time, I know that I'm where the Lord wants me to be, and I'm on the path He wants me to be on, and I know that great things are ahead. Since I've been home, I've seen many blessings in my life, and I've seen the Lord give me things that I needed, very specific to me. She now serves in the Relief Society presidency, and in December she received her endowment in the Mount Timpanogos Temple. In the temple, Hightower found the peace and approval she sought. I just felt like I was doing exactly what the Lord wanted me to do, and it was like the first time in so long that I felt like He was truly proud of me, proud of what I was doing, and that's all I really ever wanted. Hightower said, smiling as tears rolled down her cheeks, in the temple, she found happiness. That was one of the happiest moments I had had, and it wasn't through me dancing in front of millions. It wasn't through meeting celebrities. It was just doing that simple thing in choosing to go through the temple and choosing to do what the Lord wanted me to do. I feel like in that moment, I saw this eternal perspective that I couldn't see before that was so much greater and grander than anything I ever experienced in Hollywood.
And they got that song, too. that they wrote for her. Since she's been home, I can't breathe for the first time.
Can't believe you went there.
I waited for that joke for like 2 minutes.
I can tell.
I've only got a couple more. What do you got, Brother
Kyle? This is from Sandy, Utah. A man who was born with terminal liver disease is now serving a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thanks to his mom.
Mom.
Ashton, parents learned of the disease when he was out 8 weeks old. When he was just 6 months old, his mother donated some of her liver to her son. And she says he's been really, really healthy ever since then. Actually, three reallys that they put in there. Joanna Arndt said. She said he has been called the poster child for transplantation. His mom said, he's one of the best gifts I've ever received, and I would have given him a piece of my heart if he hadn't stolen mine already the moment.
Oh, my God!
I had to include that line. That couldn't be any more loving.
Precious!
It really is the cutest thing ever.
Ashton is a cross-country runner.
Nice.
Yeah. And ran between 30 and 50 miles per week before his mission.
Really?
That's a lot.
That's a lot of miles for a high school kid.
A healthy gentleman.
Yeah. Last summer, he traveled to Argentina and participated in the World Transplant Games. They do, yeah.
That's ridiculously cool.
So imagine
cool.
With people with like two different length arms and a leg that's
I don't think that's
darker
the transplant.
Than the other.
That's yep. Darker than the other.
One brown
Why is
eye,
his
one
pinky
blue.
Pointing the wrong way?
In October 2015, he left to serve a Spanish-speaking mission in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe he convert my mom's family down there.
Yeah, do you mind?
The missionary is doing really well, as mom said. They've had some struggles sending him over the medication, but a religious perspective is the way they look at it, and they've seen miracles happen.
Miracles. They've had a hard time sending medicine to Texas.
Yeah, evidently they're sending it to him that he can't get it there. I did what my child needed, which was what any parent would do, I think, she said. His mother, what I really think is amazing is that when people are faced with tragedy, which is usually when organ donation becomes a probability, and they choose to give other people their lives, and that, I think, they are the true heroes in life.
That's really cool.
That is.
I got just a couple more that I want to share with you, and then we got to wrap it up. We're going long, kids. We've talked to you about Lucky Blue Smith before, right? Model. He's got a movie that's going to be coming out this year, I think. Hopefully we'll be able to get him here in the Cultural Hall.
I have a connection with him.
Well, then let's work it, sister.
Okay.
And his sisters.
Cute girls.
Piper America Smith and Daisy Clementine Smith.
His parents knew what they were doing when they named kids.
They first started earning media mentions, thanks to their equally good-looking little brother, 17-year-old Lucky Blue. But now the blonde booty, not booties, beauties, baby booties, are getting plenty of recognition in their own right. They just landed a new campaign for the mega retailer Forever 21. And you can check these out. You can see pictures of it at theculturalhall.com. There's the part in here that they talk about being Mormon. Though the girls sure don't seem afraid to model bikinis, low-cut tops, or short shorts, and have been known to share some lingerie shots on Instagram, they still insist that they're adhering to their strict Mormon roots, which ban things like cigarettes, alcohol, and even coffee. At a recent shoot, they asked me to do a nude shot, and I turned that down. But I don't think I'm missing out, Piper told Allure this year. She also explained that she's aware that some people see contradictions between what she does and how she was brought up, first in Utah and then in L.A. Sometimes in the modeling world, I can be so focused on how I look, she said. I don't think that matters. It just matters how you treat people and how you progress as a person. Having grown up Mormon helps me stay grounded. So, definitely two people to follow. Do we want to end? Let's see. Do we end this way or do we end that way?
Happy note. Upbeat. Positive.
Stolen hearts and cute things like that.
We'll end this way. It was about 2 o'clock on a blustery cold morning when Gabriel Cummings was awakened by his aunt with heartbreaking news. His mother had just died. The 13-year-old knew that it was only a matter of time and had asked his aunt, Tracy Abramson, to tell him the news regardless of the hour. His mother's decade-long battle with breast cancer was over February 17, 2015. Although he was grateful his mother, 48-year-old Rebecca Abramson Cummings, wouldn't have to suffer any longer, he longed for her. She was the kind woman who was a supreme example of love and service. After he wept, Abramson asked if he wanted to go to his home to see her. Without a doubt, he said yes. Abramson and Gabriel drove through the 6 to 7 inches of snow that blanketed the streets of their Stafford neighborhood. When driving through Hampton Oaks, they saw a car stuck in the snow. One man was behind the wheel while another was trying to push the vehicle out. Concerned for Gabriel's emotional well-being, Abramson asked if he wanted to stop and help. At first, he was not sure. Abramson drove slowly past the car and then shifted in front of it to cut a path out for them. When they were barely at the top of the hill, Gabriel said, "Aunt Tracy, I think we should stop. That's what Mom would want us to do." Abramson agreed, and they turned back and helped out. One of the men was a local deputy sheriff and had just finished his shift. For the next 15 minutes or so, Abramson and Gabriel helped dig them out of the snow. Then they drove ahead of the other vehicle so there was a path to follow. By the time they arrived at his home, his sister Amanda Abramson and his brother and sister-in-law Matthew and Ann Abramson were waiting. That service rendered had helped this then 13-year-old boy find joy in what was certainly his most darkest hour. Reflecting on Mom, Gabriel is now 14 years old, actively involved in his church, Boy Scouts, and 8th grade at H.H. Poole Middle School. His activities range from sports to lead roles in plays. While sitting on the couch at his home, he reflected on his mother's life, her example, and her influence. Looking back on that night, he said he made the decision to stop and help others because it was what his mom would want him to do. "She would always help people," Gabriel said. "She's gone, so more people have to do service to make up for that." Gabriel is constantly finding ways to serve others in hopes that his mother is proudly watching over him. He said he always asked himself, "What would Mom want me to do?" He always knows the answer, love others, no matter how hard that it is. Identifying ways that he watched his mother serve others was simple. From genealogical work to helping students, she served others until her final days. He recalls his mother doing genealogical work for over 1,200 people. She was a teacher of emotionally disturbed children at Stafford Middle School. Her motto was, quote, "She had to love her students in order to teach them." Gabriel recalled the days of his mother being extremely ill and tired, yet she still found ways to serve. She would make sock monkeys, scarves, and hats for the families of those fighting stage 4 breast cancer. One day, she turned to Gabriel and said, "Okay, it's time to box everything that needs to be sent out." He thought, "You should be asleep, not trying to work." Yet the two packaged all the goodies and ensured that they were sent out to others in need, finding peace and comfort. Gabriel was 6 months old when his father, McCormick Mac Cummings, died. Sometimes others will say, "You have no dad or mom. That kind of sucks." Although Gabriel doesn't remember his father, he believes that they have a spiritual connection. Quote, "I can feel him inspiring me to do certain things," Gabriel said. He feels the same way about his mother. "Yeah, it sucks that she's gone and she left her family, but at the same time, she's with her husband and the rest of her family." Gabriel is a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and believes that families can be together forever. After death, he will see his mother and father again. He has no doubt that they are watching over him. Although a lot of people expect him to be depressed about his mother's death, he finds comfort in knowing that she's in a better place and that she's not suffering with cancer anymore. Gabriel wears an armband that says "Survivor" in honor of cancer survivors. He said although his mother did not survive, he does believe that she's a fighter, and one way that he hopes to make his mother and father proud is graduating with an associate's degree from high school via an early scholarship program. He would like to study technology and believes he would like to study technology because he loves computers. He wants to go to college and serve a religious mission in the Pacific Islands where he has family origins, and carry on his mom's memory and her husband. Abramson and her husband, Jonathan, have legal custody of Gabriel, who began living with them 7 weeks before Rebecca died, and they could not be more proud of Gabriel. As a mother of four, Tracy Abramson, that is now Gabriel's essentially mom, says, quote, "As any mother looks at their child, they want them to find themselves. They want them to find what truly makes them happy, and they want them to be a contributing member of society." We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope if you're sick or afflicted, you'll be well and can listen next week.
And we hope that when the time comes, you will travel home in safety.
If you have a brush, get it to Janae. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be